Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. What exactly is going on in Rochester? And who is Daniel Prude? Also, Donald Trump is now tied in Florida. And most of this episode, we are going to be exploring the ideas of Karl Marx. I have now heard 6 times in the last 24 hours on television someone say the term Marxism. Yet so few people understand what it actually means, where it's derived from, what Karl Marx thought, where he was actually trying to take humankind. We go into that and so much more on this episode. I have some exciting news to share with you that an anonymous, very generous, amazing human being is putting up $25,000 to help expand this podcast to reach millions more people. As you may or may not know, our podcast is now turning into a radio show on October 5th, a national radio show. So we need to expand even more. And if this podcast has blessed you at all, please consider chipping in as a monthly supporter at charliekirk.com/support. When you guys chip in, it'll be matched dollar for dollar. Marxism, Rochester, Florida polling, and so much more. This is a very important episode, and if you guys are not clear at all about the direction of our country and what Marxism and communism actually is, by the end of this episode, you'll be much better informed and better able to articulate a defense against communism, Marxism, and socialism. If you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, take out your phone, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it, and email us freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Marxism and so much more. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
What is going on in Rochester, New York? I want to get into that first, and then I'm going to dive into a question that a lot of you have sent in. What is Marxism? A lot of people use the term Marxist, but very few people understand what a Marxist actually is. So I want to dive into what is happening in Rochester with the death of Daniel Prude, and then I'm going to give a comprehensive and in-depth explanation of what Marxism is and what it isn't, and what we can actually learn from Karl Marx, which actually, believe it or not, we can learn quite a lot. So this is just breaking right now. Rochester Police Chief Command Staff announced retirement amid protests over the death of Daniel Prude. Who is Daniel Prude, and how did he die? And what are people protesting and rioting about in Rochester? So if you haven't seen over the last weekend, Rochester has now become the new Kenosha. It's become the new Portland. It's become the new Seattle. Rochester is now ground zero for the rioting, the arson, and the protests. So here's how the New York Times wrote up the death of Daniel Prude. They first started editorializing with needless context about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Then they continue to actually tell us the facts. Quote, in the early hours of March 23rd, in the early hours on the 23rd of March, Mr. Prude ran from his brother's home in just a tank top and long underwear on a freezing night. A short time later, officers responded to a 911 call of a naked man who was ranting in the streets and telling at least one passing stranger that he had the Chinese coronavirus. So let's just put a pause here. Daniel Prude is, without any clothes in the streets, rambling about having the Chinese coronavirus. Now, mind you, this is just hours after his brother had him hospitalized for what the Times call a, quote, mental health crisis. Yet he was released 3 hours later, quote, without diagnosis. Toxicology reports would later show that Prude was high on PCP, commonly known as angel dust. The article continues by saying, officers arrived and handcuffed Mr. Prude without incident as he sat in the street. Between prayers and profanities and demands for money or a cigarette, or even a gun, he spat on the street, ignoring officers' commands to stop. And the footage continues to show an officer draped a mesh hood, which is known as a spit sock, over his head, which does not suffocate you. It doesn't. It's not like putting a garbage bag over somebody. It just prevents officers from being spit at or for being agitated. So he became even more aggressive, attempting to rise to his feet. So Prude started by becoming arrested peacefully, albeit spitting on officers and in the area surrounding the officers, and then he got more and more belligerent. The story continued by saying officers pinned him to the ground, and his pleas turned into muffled gurgles inside the hood, then stopped altogether. An ambulance arrived, and a paramedic performed chest compressions. Mr. Prude was in cardiac distress, or coded in medical jargon. One of the paramedics stood up and addressed the officers, quote, "So PCP can cause what we call excited delirium," she said, as recorded on an officer's body camera. Quote, "I guarantee you that's how he coded. It's not your guys' fault. You've got to keep yourself safe." So he's high on angel dust, goes into a cardiac arrest or heart attack, and dies a week later due to complications from his overdose combined with the struggle that came with resisting arrest. The police chief later told the mayor the next day that Prude was, quote, "an apparent drug user and overdosed while in custody." Days later, Daniel Prude died in the hospital. So Letitia James, the state attorney general, learned of the case on April 16th after her office was informed by a county district attorney of the preliminary autopsy report that showed asphyxiation was a cause of death. Ms. James took over the case by April 21st and began an investigation. The Rochester police were already closing their own internal investigation, interviewing the officers involved and reviewing their body cam footage. It concluded on April 27th, based upon investigation, this is quote, "based upon investigation, the officer's action and conduct displayed when dealing with Prude appear to be appropriate and consistent with their training." That led to the community to begin accusing the Rochester police chief of a cover-up. A two-decade veteran of the force and a black man, LaRon Singletary, repeatedly insisted that there was, quote, "no cover-up." But the narrative is now one of, quote, "police brutality" in the wake of George Floyd's murder, which overtook reality and made one black man, the chief, public enemy number one in the death of another black man. So if I were to go through the stats here, I don't understand why people are rioting and are marching in the streets of Rochester. This has now become a professional protesting class in our country where people now find meaning in fighting the system, trying to find another incident that can confirm their false presupposition that the police are racist and are trying to kill them. You look at the details of this case, it seems very clear. There was a paramedic that came to the scene, completely cleared the police officers for what they did, putting on a spit sock where someone can still breathe, and he dies of asphyxiation. And so it wasn't police induced, and none of the body camera footage says that it is. And he died a couple days later in the hospital. So now the entire Rochester Central Command of Police have resigned. And now in Rochester, which does have a sizable black population, we are going to see continued riots. We are going to see continued arson and terrorism. This is not an incident even close or similar to that of George Floyd. But if you're an activist and you believe in ideology first and facts second, then incidents like this are nothing more than confirmation bias, even though there's nothing to confirm. Even though that what actually happens might be completely contradictory to the narrative that you believe in, which is no matter what, the police are racist, they're going after black people. Here's another example of a black person that died near police officers. None of the facts show that. We are going to continue to closely follow this story and dive deeper into it as facts emerge. However, none of this warrants nationwide outrage or protest, and none of it warrants the endless amount of conflict that is now happening in Rochester, the arson and the looting and the professional protesting class that has found a new home in the streets of our country and now Rochester, New York. I want to talk about internet freedom. Social media companies get to decide what content is suitable for the sensitive snowflakes among us and censor whatever they don't like. Shouldn't you be the one to decide what you want to read or watch, not them? Well, there's one thing you can control, their access to your data. And for that, I use ExpressVPN. You see, the problem with big tech companies is that they not only censor what you read, but they track what you do online. They track what you're searching for, the videos you watch, and everything you click. They use this data to serve you ads and can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these tech companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. So right now, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. 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 And why would you give these tech companies a free license to know everything about you? So go to expressvpn.com/Charlie today. Before we get into Karl Marx, I want to talk about some new polling. Fox News is now reporting that President Trump and Joe Biden are now deadlocked in Florida with just 8 weeks till the general election. A new NBC Marist poll has both candidates polling at 48% among Florida likely voters. This is the first NBC Marist poll of its kind in Florida 2020, and the poll questioned 1,047 registered voters, including 766 likely voters, by live telephone operators. The survey's sampling error for likely voters is plus or minus 4.5 percentage points. These are the two big shifts from the same poll in 2016. Biden is winning with 65 plus voters, but Donald Trump is leading with Latino voters. It's incredible. Donald Trump is leading with Latino voters. Trump is leading sizably amongst Latino voters of Cuban descent and all Hispanic voters in the state of Florida. And I want to just put a spotlight on Miami-Dade County for just one moment. Anyone who knows Florida electoral politics knows that Republicans don't need to win Miami-Dade County to win Florida. They just need to run up the numbers on their account. They just need to lose by less or run up the numbers. Donald Trump is doing just that, closing the gap between him and Biden compared to the 2016 race. A poll of 500 likely Miami-Dade voters released Tuesday found that Trump was far behind the Democrat nominee, Joe Biden. However, he actually was trailing by much less than he lost to Hillary Clinton in Miami-Dade County. He cut that deficit in half. President Donald Trump is looking very good and very positive in the state of Florida. So we've covered BLM Incorporated quite a lot here on this program. We have wrestled with some of the ideas of critical race theory, and I believe cross-examined it with a factual, evidence-based approach. We have some phenomenal guests that we've had on this show, such as James Lindsay and Peter Boghossian. I encourage you to check out the episodes where we have profiled those thinkers and those writers. However, quite often I use the term Marxist. That person is a Marxist. Now, I know what that means, but I have to stop myself and I ask, do all of you know what that means? And does everyone in the news media even knows what that means? We talked about how BLM Incorporated described themselves as trained Marxists, but where does that come from? So let's actually dive into the writings and the teachings of Karl Marx. And this is very important as we head into this contentious election cycle, when you have one candidate, Joe Biden, who is pandering routinely and continually to Marxist activists. Now, there's two things to remember when we are discussing the ideas of any famous political philosopher. We talk about Descartes, and we talk about Aquinas, Augustine, Cicero, Marcus Aurelius, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Burke, Hume, Locke, or Paine. We always try to preface it with this. They were all products of the times in which they lived in and of everything that happened up until that point. And every single one of these political philosophers, including Karl Marx and Jean-Jacques Rousseau, they were right about something. No philosopher would it be more important to remember the second point, right about something, than it is with Karl Marx. Now, Karl Marx got a lot wrong. Karl Marx's ideas were applied so horrifically that resulted in the death of over 100 million people. But it's also important to know that maybe Karl Marx had some correct observations. We're going to talk about just that. Karl Marx might hold the trifecta claim to being as being the most referenced philosopher, the most influential philosopher, and the least read philosopher who lays claim to the first two points. That's right. People mention Karl Marx more so than almost any other political philosopher, yet so few people have actually read Das Kapital or the Communist Manifesto, and so few people actually understand what he was trying to achieve. See, the women founders of BLM, again, declare themselves to be Marxists. The Soviet Union, Mao's China, Fidel's Cuba, Min's Vietnam, North Korea have all laid claims to be Marxist communists. The Marxist communist movement is incredibly powerful, dangerous, and very contemporary. Very dangerous and contemporary. It's also very much misunderstood. Most people think that Marx invented communism. He didn't. He wasn't even the first choice to write about it. What he did do is make the philosophical argument for it as the disavowing, contemptuous philosopher. It is important to note that as Marx described it, we have never had a true communist country anywhere in the world. We could, however, be on the verge of having one just as Marx described, but with a twist that he did not foresee. The venue would be the United States, and the twist would be the true nature of humans. If Marx was right, and if I'm right, then we would truly need to understand Marxism and stand up and fight with everything we have. Otherwise, we risk having a country governed by the star characters of something close to The Walking Dead. Now, we're going to get into human nature in just a second. However, before we start, there are some very key terms that have to be defined. Number one is the dialectical process. You might have heard me mention this before, the Hegelian dialectic. This is a concept that is created by George Hegel that suggests that all things, including history, grudgingly and deliberately move forward through a mechanical, conflict-inherent, and oppositional process. This has been described as a thesis creating an opposite reaction, an antithesis or antithesis, and the two form a synthesis, which in turn become a new thesis, and so on. This dialectical process continues until a final synthesis is reached. We also have to describe the term historicism, a belief that all social and cultural phenomena are determined by history. History is not some simple recounting of what has happened. History is happening with a purpose. This is another Hegelian theory. Also, determinism, that all events are ultimately caused by forces external to human will. We are essentially pawns to history. The die is cast for each of us and for all of us. Also, materialism, that nothing exists except matter, movements, and the modification of matter. Said in a more contemporary way, existence is about stuff. These are the four key ingredients to Marx's writings and ideas. A little bit of background of Karl Marx, the person. Karl Marx was born in 1818 in Prussia, which is now known as Germany. His family was middle class and Jewish. He actually went to university, which was a rarity at the time, and the family hoped for him to become a lawyer. Obviously didn't happen. They said maybe you should become a professor. Also didn't happen, but he did join the local newspaper. He managed to get it shut down with his radical ideas. He wanted to be a revolutionary writer. He was run out of Prussia, went to France, run out of France, and eventually found home in London, in England. And he lived the rest of his life there. His wife, Jenny von Westphalen, which was his wife from 1843 to 1881, was very devoted and helped support him, had four children, two of whom died in part because they could not afford proper medical care. This impacted his worldview greatly. Marx saw the Industrial Revolution in Europe, a great recession of the 1840s, and the Irish potato famine. All of those heavily impacted and influenced his ideology. Marx had a famous sidekick, Frederick Engels. He lived from 1820 to 1895, was also born in Prussia. His parents left Prussia and moved to England in 1842, in part because their young son was so radical, they feared for his and for their safety. Engels became a very successful businessman and entrepreneur, and very bourgeoisie. He owned businesses. He met Marx and became his benefactor. He was essentially the capitalist behind funding all of Marx's work. He was almost the Theophilus to Luke, who wrote the book of Luke and Acts. For those who don't understand the Bible, understand the reference completely. He had a major piece of his own, quote, conditions the working class is in England. Legend has it that he wrote it with inspiration, help, and contribution from a lover and factory worker, Mary Burns. That's a different podcast for a different time. Engels was a 19th century version of the Silicon Valley elite, the masters of the universe. So communism, of course, has its roots in Plato and his attack on private property and the idea of the need for it takes a village approach. Hillary Clinton famously wrote the book, It Takes a Village. The communist movement started in some form in the 19th century during the Industrial Revolution. It actually started without Karl Marx. That's right, communism predated Marx. It was done informally and organically in places like Prussia, France, and Spain. It is the French who coined terms like socialism and communism. These terms were coined well before Marx started writing. The Communist Manifesto was a commissioned work by a communist group out of Prussia, the Communist League. Marx actually was not the first choice to write it. Marx was a 10th or 12th option down the line. Marx wrote extensively over his life. With his and Engels combined, their magnum opus was Das Kapital. Not the Communist Manifesto, it was actually Das Kapital, which came well after the Communist Manifesto, and it laid out the historical argument for the labor theory of value. It is considered primary and first and foremost as an economic text. So here's where everyone gets things wrong. Here's what Marx actually said. We have to be honest and truthful. Even some conservatives get this wrong at times. That's why I so greatly appreciate those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support, because we can dive deep into what did these thinkers actually believe and how does it apply to what we're living through today. Marx is known for three primary things. Number one, his theory of history. Number two, his critique of capitalism. And number three, his idea on alienation. Paying out of your own pocket for gear that you need to do to your job can be very frustrating. All kinds of departments across the nation, police, fire, EMS, medical workers on front lines, if you are any of these heroes, listen carefully. Hunting for military or first responder discounts has historically required going from one website to another, creating multiple accounts and logins to make purchases, and jumping through various hoops to verify your service. Don't you wish there was one place you could visit that had carefully crafted selection of deals from military and first responders in one spot? Big general retailers don't care about you and your sacrifices as long as you're clicking the add to cart button. That is why there is GovX, G-O-V-X. GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible for you because you deserve the gear that you need at the prices that you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel, all from popular brands, all in one convenient location. GovX honors your service and gives back to your communities. So if you're an American of service, a current or former member of the military, firefighting, frontline medical or law enforcement communities, or emergency medical, join GovX for free and join a community that honors and gives back to patriots like you. So right now, get $15 off first orders of $50 or more to use that code KIRK, K-I-R-K. Right now, code KIRK, govx.com. Use the code KIRK. So let's go through each one of these. First of which, theory of history. Marx, again, was a determinist, meaning that the course of history is knowable and already set. We cannot escape it. He was actually a fan of his contemporary, Charles Darwin, and dedicated Das Kapital to him. You might not know that. The Darwinism and Marxism are actually very much inspired by one or the other. He saw an evolutionary nature to man and history with a sort of natural selection process leading toward improvement. He believed the Enlightenment was right, that you could come up with natural and scientific explanation for the changes in society, that everything is knowable. Now, he actually rejected a lot of Enlightenment ideas as well. We'll get into that in just a second. He believed in Hegel's dialectic, but where Hegel argued that it was bringing us toward an end of history, Marx thought it was bringing us toward the beginning of true history. Kind of hear that in a lot of the language, a lot of these campus activists, that everything before us hasn't really happened. We're the beginning of time. Marx believed that, quote, communism is the solution to the problem of history. That the problem of history is the problem of scarcity. So here's the process. You start with a philosophical anthropology. What makes humans different? Most say reason. Marx says we are the only animal that refashions its environment based on our needs. We are reflexive, not instinctive in that sense. Reason evolved out of necessity to refashion environment. Very Darwinian in this sense. He says that man is a, quote, producing animal by our nature. He said a division of labor is a natural thing, even found in primitive hunter-gathering societies. He believed every society experiences scarcity, that no society has ever been able to produce enough to satisfy all human needs and wants. Now, given these shortages, it is predictable that groups will always establish itself in some sort of a ruling class of some sorts. It is casually created. It is predictable. Marx said it is natural. It is the rational action of an animal acting on, first, a reflexive need to alter our environment and productive by nature. Number two, the fact that we are naturally have divisions of labor. Number three, that the fact there is scarcity. All of this was built around historical materialism. In terms of historicism, there are two key forces. Number one, historical persons. Number two, the forces of production, meaning the means of production. This is where you hear a lot of the Marxists say the workers need to own the means of production, such as actual tools, facilities, and equipment, raw materials. And the second of which is abstract human labor power. Now, science is very important to Marx. It improves abstract labor power. He believed that everything evolves around where people stand in their relation to the production process. The way that he looked at things was slave, master, lord, subject, worker, owner. History itself is a result of economic activity centered around labor, control, production, wants, needs, and scarcity. He thought that all other structures were just superstructures, state, church, culture, habits, arts. He thought it was all about economics. Everything is set to determine and make legitimate the necessary means and methods of production. Now, there were three great historical modes of production stages in Western civilization. There's the slave mode, which he argued happened mostly during the time of the Roman Empire. There was the feudal mode, which replaced Rome, not so bad, where medieval lords were much more concerned about prestige than status, about profits. And better techniques for farming made sense to give people some land to work more or less on their own, so as long as they produced. And also the capitalist mode, the one that they were in the time of Marx. Technology had made production techniques so efficient it made more sense to rent the labor through wages. It could be easily deployed or discarded. Now, each new mode or prosecution gestates into the prior one. For example, feudalism bordered the Roman Empire, capitalism and trade in places of Venice, Amsterdam, etc., emerging in the late medieval period. Capitalism, which Marx really hated, was the beginning of the end of what he calls the end of this form where true history can begin. He thought that transitional point was called socialism. Socialism is what Marx's original work was peddled under, not communism, because the transitional piece is what was being pushed. Socialism, again, is the gestational form of communism in a capitalist society. Capitalism, he believed, led to communism because of its failings, excesses, and abuses. Once the dialectical process reaches communism, it means that you are now truly free and real human history is set to begin. So how does capitalism fail? How do free markets collapse in and of itself? How are people alienated from themselves? Let's first look at the failures of capitalism and Marx's critique. And these are in his words, not my words. Marx believed that capitalism was the first dynamic system. Marx ascribed to the labor theory of value just like Adam Smith. He believed that technology was constantly improving, therefore each laborer became more productive, therefore less valuable. He believed that profits are nothing but the excess of price over the value that has been created by and paid for by labor. More and more things produced with more and more exploited labor. He believed that recessions happened. He did not like this. He believed that modern work was alienating. He believed that modern work is insecure. He believed that workers get paid very little while others get rich. He called this a primitive accumulation of wealth. He believed that profit was a form of theft. He also thought that capitalism and markets were unnecessarily and immorally unstable. He believed that capitalism is actually bad for capitalism and argued that the marriage itself of human beings is actually a business relationship. He called it commodity fetishism. He played very much into the feminist movement of what he would call the liberation of women. That's a different conversation for a different time. He did not believe in private property. He believed in free public education. And also, Marx went through three distinct stages of human needs, and these roughly correspond to his historical stages. The natural self. This is where we have our basic need of subsistence, of the natural urge to reproduce. He believed that people were naturally good. He believed that human beings are good in the state of nature. He believed that our traditional values drowned in the icy waters of their egotistical calculation. This is very Rousseauian. We'll get back to the human nature piece, but that's really what this entire conversation is about. It's not about BLM Inc. It's not about communism. It's about how are human beings naturally? What is our general direction? What is our programming, our hardwiring? Are we naturally going to be in the good direction or the bad direction? That is how you build society. Who are we in the state of nature is the most important question a human being can answer. And for those that are Christians, those of us that believe in the Bible, we have an answer to that question. He believed that laws eventually in communism would no longer be required. Now, communism was almost a state of utopia, which literally means nowhere. This is where we get the actual meaning from each according to its ability to each according to their need. It is not about welfare. It is about ending the alienation process. Remember, Marx believed that modern work was alienating. I want to tell you guys about Legacy Box. We talk about protecting a legacy and preserving Western civilization. Legacy Box is actually right in line with that sort of thinking. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. With summertime officially coming to an end, we've got fall on the mind. What were your favorite fall childhood memories? Apple picking, carving pumpkins, football games, watching the leaves change? Did your parents capture these memories on camera? Are these recorded moments still trapped on outdated videotapes, film reels, or slides? Being able to preserve those memories is exactly what Legacy Box was created to do. Legacy Box helps bring new life to your old media by unlocking those trapped family memories and putting them in a modern digital format that's easy to use. I can tell you that Legacy Box has made it easy for me to preserve my family's memories. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish is so easy. You pack and send. Their team digitizes everything by hand, and then you enjoy. So right now, go to legacybox.com/Charlie. Legacybox.com/CHARLIE. Go to legacybox.com/Charlie and save 50% off while supplies last. So in summary, Marx was a product of his times. When the growing pains of the Industrial Revolution that he judged to be inherent to capitalism on a whole. No growing pains, this is it. He saw the system as permanently exploitative by its nature, and that exploitation would last until the next stage of history when it was overthrown. It was necessary, but it was transitional. Marx thought of himself as articulating the bridge between evil capitalism, private property, and utopian communism. Now, Marx was a famous atheist. He felt God was a trick to keep the poor in line and content with not having much in its lifetime. He famously said that religion is the opiate of the masses. Marx articulated clearly that God had to go. This is one of the biggest reasons why those people that call themselves liberals or leftists, socialists or communists, and Christians have very little understanding about what Marx actually believed. For Marx, he believed God was a barrier to the next historical utopian paradigm. Many times a lot of you email me questions. You say, what does the left really want? What is their end game? Where are they trying to get to? Now, for some of the activists that are being deployed for these purposes, they really don't know. They're just bitter. They're arrogant. They're full of deceit. For some of the masters of this chaos, for some of these people that are being continually pushed, there is a much more simple answer to that. The answer is they actually think that they're part of a historical dialectic to bring about meaningful utopia and change on earth. Those of us that believe in the Bible and those of us that believe in the Christian ethic and Christianity, we know that heaven will never be attained on this planet. It won't happen. But we can get very close to hell on earth. Marx argued that the stages of transition he said were going to happen would have to involve bloodshed. Now again, he believed the stages of transition he said were going to happen would have to involve bloodshed. The ruling class would not easily take part with what they had. It had to be forcibly taken for the socialist transition to be necessary. So when BLM Incorporated says they are trained Marxists, they believe that bloodshed is a means to the end. There are three short books that had more impact on the world we're living in that I encourage all of you listening to check out. And you guys can go to thinker.org/Charlie, thinkr.org/Charlie to get summaries of all three of these. Terrific website, thinker.org/Charlie. It is The Communist Manifesto, Common Sense by Thomas Paine, and The Prince by Machiavelli. Rather short pieces of work, very important and critical to how we are able to analyze the world we live in today. And so for the Marxists, they derive this from The Prince, that the ends justify the means. Marx knew bloodshed was going to happen. He knew it. Now, he didn't necessarily support the same sort of bloodshed that Lenin and Stalin would have used. I think he actually would have been repulsed by it. But in the revolution part of it, he knew that there was no way to avoid it. Marx again believed that people were fundamentally good, that communism would allow for that transformation back to what our nature actually is, with the added plus of having solved our one real problem, which he considered to be scarcity. But the question we have to ask ourselves today is, what was Marx right about and what was he wrong about? He was wrong about the state of nature. But he argued that in a fully capitalist society, corporatism would come in. We talked about this yesterday. He said that we'd have large perceived gaps of income, that people would be bored with their work. We'd have militant type of insurgent forces that would be very disenfranchised, booms and busts and other things. So I'm not saying that Marx was correct about the application of things. But we are near where Marx said history would bring us, whether we like it or not. This was determined. The dialectic has been moving. We would seem poised to enter the beginning of communistic history, right? But here's the biggest problem. Despite what Marx correctly predicted, he was wrong about human nature. We know this. Thomas Hobbes clearly said that man in the state of nature was nasty, brutish, and short. So the question is, what do we take from this? It's that true trained Marxists, if they really understand what Marx is talking about, they think that everything we're living through is just a dialectic. It's just a step on the way where history really begins. We're actually not living through real time right now. The bloodshed might be necessary. Now you might say, well, Charlie, what did again Marx get correct? He wasn't wrong when he was saying the excesses of capitalism are something that must be addressed. He knew that people needed meaning of some sort. He just thought they wouldn't find meaning at all in the marketplace. I think a better way to address this is, of course, through Christianity, which Marx mocked and thought we had to get rid of. So Marx, again, is the most influential philosopher, the most referenced philosopher, but the least read philosopher. When people ask you about Karl Marx, reference this podcast. Dive into it. Because Marx's communism might just look a lot like Hobbes' state of nature. So when Marx thinks we can get rid of all private property and all of civil society, he thinks we're going to go to utopia. I think we'll go to hell. It's completely different. Because what this all really is who are we absent of all of these institutions? It is a constant and deliberate question of, do you believe in the Garden of Eden? That's what's going on in our country right now. Do you believe in original sin? And so we as Christians, or even if you're not a Christian listening to this podcast, and we have lots of Christians not listening to this podcast, because we talk about all sorts of different topics, but ask yourself, who are human beings if you put them in a state of nature, in the woods, absent of no government? Who are they? How do they act? There was a show that tried to answer this question, a fictional show called Lost. You guys might remember that show. Literally, there was a character called John Locke on Lost, who he himself is, of course, after the philosopher John Locke. And of course, in Lost as well, there was another fictional character called Rousseau. So the writers knew exactly what they were doing. They were trying to answer this question, is who is man in the state of nature? I don't believe there was a character by the name of Hobbes. There should have been, because I believe Hobbes was correct about the state of nature. Hobbes's view of nature, of man and nature, was biblical. It's correct. We know this to be true, that I actually think what divides us from complete savagery as human beings and civility, that line is a lot thinner than we might ever realize. And so if you challenged Marxists or Marx and showed them examples of how his ideas actually resulted in 130 million people being killed in Russia, China, Cuba, Vietnam, North Korea, Marx would say, this is not what I predicted. Perhaps some intentions were good, but these were all cases of people trying to rush history and attach my name to totalitarian causes. Here's the problem, though, is that Marxism inevitably ends in totalitarianism. It does, because human nature will show in the hierarchy, somebody is going to use the teachings and the promises of Marxism of building utopia and a better tomorrow to rise to the top and exploit people and destroy human freedom. The biggest problem with Marxism is not just the analysis of human beings in the state of nature. It's also they do not believe the human beings should have first principles, the right to assembly, speech, organizing, communication. Do not believe that at all. In fact, it's a total rejection of any sort of ideas of liberty and freedom. Marx did not believe in the idea of the individual. He believed in comrades. He believed in collectivism. Now, Marx actually was not very well respected while he was alive. The real first person to institute Marx widespread was Vladimir Lenin in the Russian Revolution. As a Bolshevik, he rose to power against the czars of Russia and promised people things that he thought might actually be possible, but he destroyed the dissidents. And no matter how much the Soviet Union tried to move towards absolute Marxism, they would always run into the same problems. Human beings had the same sorts of needs, the same sorts of desires, the same sorts of urge to find meaning. And totalitarian Marxism can never fill that void. Marxism is a very serious threat in our country. But I think the transitional piece right now is not socialism. I think it's actually kleptocratic corporate fascism. I think before we get to communism, it's not going to be socialism. This is something I think Marx got wrong. I think the transitional piece before the communists might take over everything, which I hope doesn't happen, but it's looking more and more likely that the Marxists are gaining power. It's that corporate America, massive mega companies in our own country that assume the role of government, they themselves will be the transitional piece to what Marx argued as the true beginning of history. Please email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. We love exploring these big ideas with you. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we have an anonymous, amazing human being who is saying that if we are able to have supporters chip in, monthly supporters for the next 25 days, up to $25,000, he will match it. We are going national with our radio show in early October. We are hiring more staff, and this helps cover those costs. So please consider becoming a monthly supporter at charliekirk.com/support. Everything you give is matched dollar for dollar. And please consider emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if this program or this podcast has moved you in any way, please email us your stories. We'd love to read them on air and share them on our website at freedom@charliekirk.com. Please subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. Screenshot it and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. And of course, get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.